A stunning report from U.S. intelligence officials today. The FBI may have performed millions of searches on American electronic data over the last year without a warrant. The news is bound to cause all kinds of concerns about how our government uses surveillance. The administration says the numbers, however, are misleading. I have the details on the report for you. Plus, this report on FBI surveillance, well, it's coming at a rather tricky time, shall we say, given that it's happening just as the federal government is being criticized for its perceived overreach amid its unveiling of a new government disinformation board. Disinformation board. I'm going to tell you just exactly why the Ministry of Truth is trending on Twitter. And amid all the talk of a potential recession, we now have a new indicator, technical indicator that I want to share with you, suggesting the slowdown has only just begun. Get ready. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Trish Regan Show. It is so good to have you here. Portions of today's program are brought to you by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals like gold or silver than right now. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later in the show when we get to the recession issue. But do make sure you go to legacypminvestments.com for your free investing guide. Again, legacypminvestments.com. All right, turning to this concerning news, the Office of the Director of National Intelligence revealed in its annual report Friday that the FBI conducted as many as 3.4 million searches of U.S. data that had been previously collected by the National Security Agency. Now, already, there's pushback on the number. They're saying, you know what, this could be a little bit misleading. That's according to the administration, the Biden administration, telling the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times that the actual number of searches is likely far lower. And they're citing complexities in terms of counting and scoring of the foreign data versus the U.S. I should also point out that the report does not suggest the FBI searches were improper or illegal, but nonetheless, it does sound like a lot of searches, right? We'll see what the final number maybe works out to be, because as I said, there is pushback on this. The FBI, should also point out, can collect the data thanks to a section of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act from 1978. It actually governs some foreign intelligence gathering and enables this. Now, more than half of the reported searches, nearly 2 million, were actually related to an investigation into a national security threat involving attempts by alleged Russian hackers to break into critical infrastructure in the United States. So that's super concerning. And don't forget, it's a big part of what people are worried about right now, given everything that's going on. So the searches included efforts to identify and protect potential victims of the alleged Russian hacking campaign. We're getting this news, as I said, at a rather inopportune time because it's coming just as a new hashtag began trending on Twitter. Ministry of Truth. It's a reference to George Orwell's dystopian novel 1984. And in the book, The Ministry of Truth is the Ministry of Propaganda. It is responsible for falsifications of historic events. And because it has all the power, it gets to decide what truth actually is. Well, the reason this is relevant is because it's somewhat, as Twitter sees it, related to what's going on now. The amendment protects us, right? After all, from something like this, we can't have our government deciding what's true, what's false, and affecting what's being said. That would actually be very dangerous for society, just as it was in Orwell's book. More on that in a moment, including the backlash from Elon Musk, politicians, intellects, all very concerned. But first, here's what's going down. Here's what you need to understand. The Department of Homeland Security just set up what it calls a, quote, new disinformation governance board. Disinformation governance board to tackle what it calls misinformation in minority communities. So this disinformation governance board will operate under the Biden era Center for Prevention Programs and Partnerships. It will provide taxpayer-funded grants to help curb any radicalization that may be happening in the United States. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas has not yet disclosed any specific powers that this thing is going to be granted, but did say it would aim to focus itself on election misinformation. So the Disinformation Governance Board will be headed by a woman named Nina Jankowicz, maybe that's how it's said, Jankowicz, she's a Russian disinformation expert who previously questioned the validity of the president's son's laptop, calling it a Trump campaign product, calling it misinformation. Of course, we know the drill on that. We know how that all turned out. And by the way, now the New York Times and the New York Post was the one who originally reported it and got in all that hot water, specifically with Twitter. The New York Times and the Washington Post have now verified that the laptop is indeed real. Now, interesting, this woman, Nina Jankowicz, did tell NPR last week that she, quote, shudders to think about what Twitter will look like under Elon Musk. The problem, of course, is that the nation is about to have people with clear political biases in charge of saying what is and what is not disinformation, allegedly fighting this disinformation with taxpayer dollars. And this, understandably, worries a whole lot of people, right? Legally, the U.S. government cannot tread on our constitutional right, our First Amendment, which enables us to say what we think. So what the Biden administration is actually doing here really is kind of unconstitutional. Clever, because they're putting it within the domain of Homeland Security, but nonetheless unconstitutional if our government is in fact trying to control what is said and what is written. Now, in the past, they have used their influence. We've seen that with big tech to ensure some kind of censorship. But what is being proposed now? Well, this is whole other level stuff and obviously very, very concerning to a lot of people. Elon Musk is weighing in on these revelations about the DHS's Disinformation Governance Board, and he is calling them, quote, discomforting. He said that in a tweet. Remember, Musk is buying Twitter because he says he wants to ensure free speech, and Musk's comments have actually been rather, I would say, restrained compared to some others. I mean, you've got a lot of people within the GOP absolutely furious. GOP Senator Josh Hawley saying that the monstrosity, quote, monstrosity of a board, the monstrosity of this board be dissolved before it ever gets started. He said he thought the board was actually satire when the news first says, why would a U.S. administration sit in judgment on the First Amendment speech of its own citizens? I got a kick out of that one because I actually myself, when this news first crossed, actually thought it was fake news because I agree. I'm like, what is the administration really trying to do here? Florida's Governor Ron DeSantis, who is believed to have political aspirations to be president, also called it out this week, calling it, quote, a belated April Fool's joke, but one with a malign intent to, quote, stifle dissent. And he went on to say, quote, what they want to do is they want to be able to put out false narratives without people being able to speak out and fight back. They want to be able to say things like Russian collusion and perpetuate hoaxes and have people like us be silenced. Look, this is going to be a problem. It is an overreach. It is, in my view, unconstitutional. They can't do this. You know, stay tuned for more developments on this one, because I think it's going to become increasingly a bigger and bigger issue. Believe me. All right, let's turn to the market today because, oh, wow. I mean, remember how I said you might want to diversify your portfolio? I mean, there are some real growing concerns out there about a recession. Our economy, just having runaway inflation. There was some inflation data today, which is contributing to these concerns. Of course, the Fed has to deal with that. But what do you know? That's going to mean less money in the system. Therefore, less spending power, perhaps for consumers. And so this is catching up with Wall Street. You saw the month of April closing out there on a low note. The Dow ended the day off nearly 1,000 points. The S&P traded down almost 4%. The NASDAQ lost more than 4%. So for the month, we saw the S&P lose 9%. It's actually the worst month we've seen for the S&P since March 2020. Because again, investors are fearing the threat of a recession because the Fed's going to have to do something, right? Meanwhile, you've got the Fed's favorite measurement of inflation just posting another major increase. So the Fed governors are going to have no choice here. They're going to have to raise rates. They're going to have to raise them big time. There's been a lot of talk about 50 basis points. It's a half a percentage increase. But some think, and I think this was reflected in some of the optimism you saw earlier in the market, at least in Thursday's session, something that, you know, maybe they'll go easy. Maybe they'll go easy and just start with, you know, another 25-point hike. Anyway, I think they're going to have to do more, and it's inevitable. But let me show you this. This is a chart that was pointed out to me by my good friend Scott Garlis over at Stansberry Research, and it's of the M2, that's the money supply. If you're on Apple iTunes or on Spotify, I do hope you subscribe, by the way. You're not going to be able to see this, but I'm going to describe it to you, so that's okay. If you're watching on YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, or Locals, I want you to take a look at this. I also want to make sure that you subscribe, so do make sure you subscribe. Do me that favor. But take a look at this. A massive increase in the money in circulation after March 2020, followed by a massive decline. I mean, you see the arrow go way up. You see the arrow go way down. And it's why I just want to remind everybody, you've got to diversify right now. It's really important to think through that. The diversification into silver and gold will really help you. We have so much inflation in this economy right now. And even if we didn't, best case scenario, even if it was just 2-3%, it's still 2-3% a year. So you need to be able to balance that, right? In terms of your overall investment portfolio, you need to be able to protect yourself. So it's one of the reasons why I like gold so much. And this is a great time to invest in gold. We've had a number of banks and analysts calling for 2,500 as their price target on gold. You've seen it inching towards 2,000. When people get nervous, what do? They go into those safety plays. So gold is one of those safety plays, and it's one of those things that has stood the test of time for thousands and thousands of years. So you can go right now to legacypminvestments.com for more information. These guys are great friends of mine, so they'll totally help you out. You can call them at 1-866-589-0560, 1-866-589-0560, or again, go to legacypminvestments.com. You can download your free investing guide. They will show you how to have a gold-backed IRA or actually buy the stuff. Like if you want gold and silver itself, and a lot of people do, you know, the rainy day supply, they can help you with that as well. So give them a ring today. LegacyPMInvestments.com. It's great to have you here. I mean, I think there's a lot going on right now that we're going to have to continue getting into in terms of whether or not you should be sharpening your pencil. Because as much as I say diversify, 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 I also think when you look at a VIX that's trading at, what, 33.4? It was today. The VIX is the volatility index. It's a measurement of fear in the marketplace. Typically, you know, if you look out 12 months later, anytime the VIX has been above 33 or 33 and a half, 12 months later, typically the market's way up. Above 30, and you're doing pretty well. When you start to get above 33.5, you're doing really, really well. In fact, if I look at the numbers, I think it's about a 27% gain that you've seen in the overall market. And this goes all the way back to the early 90s. When the VIX indicator first came out. So it's one of those things that I like to watch because it gives you a sense of how fearful people really are. And look, you know, what is the motto? You buy low, sell high. So when people are really nervous, that's actually an opportunity to get some stocks at a discount. So I encourage long-term investors to start sharpening their pencils and start looking around, but simultaneously making sure that you have alternatives and that you're diversified and you don't put all your eggs in one basket. Just a quick reminder, everyone, do go to trishintel.com. That's my website. Sign up for my newsletter. Get all your news and information there. We are regularly updating it with all the big stories of the day. Plus, I want you to go to trishregan.locals.com. You can support the show there. You can speak directly with me. We're always on there talking back and forth. So please do me that favor. Follow me on Twitter. Oh, finally, I'm getting an increase in followers. They're going way up. What do you know? Thanks, Elon, I guess. You can go to @Trish_Regan. You can also follow me there @Trish_Regan on Instagram, same exact handle. I want you to have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. I'm going to see you right back here for a full show on Monday, and we're going to have lots of social media as well over the weekend. So I will see you on all these platforms. Have a good one. See you Monday.